Stafford received an epidural to deal with an aggravated disc, but the team believes he'll be ready for week one.
The deals at South's Finest Meats just keep getting better and better, and this week through August the 12th, they have a great deal on Ziegler products, including 12 ounces of Southern Style Smoked Sausage 2 for $6, 12 ounces of thick or regular sliced bologna 2 for $5, 12 ounces of Jumbo Frank Hot Dogs 2 for $5, or 24 ounces of Stack Pack Sliced Bacon $7.98. They also have great deals on beef, chicken, and fish this week that run through August the 12th. Go by there today and check out some of the amazing deals at South's Finest Meats. It is time for the Stingray Show, and coming up on this edition, we're saying Boomer Sooner, as this is the Oklahoma preview show, as the Oklahoma Sooners went 6-7 a year ago under head coach Brent Venables as he enters his fourth season in Norman. How will they do this season as he is on the hot seat? Tyler McComas will join us on this edition of the Stingray Show to preview the Oklahoma Sooners without their quarterback from last year, Jackson Arnold, who is now on the plains down at Auburn. This is the Oklahoma Preview Show right now on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out, you're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Heath, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
The Oklahoma Preview Show starts right now. Welcome inside another edition of the Stingray Show. And Heath, for the first time in a very long time, a coach enters the season on the hot seat in Norman, Oklahoma. And from our guest, Tyler McComas, who's going to join us in a little bit. I was talking to him earlier. This is the first time since 1998 that a coach enters the season in Norman, Oklahoma on the hot seat.
Man, that's kind of insane to think about. You know, Stephen, Oklahoma, one of the blue bloods of college football,
yes.
But a few years back, like before COVID, when they were going to the college football playoff every year, they were just punching on a very weak Big 12.
Yeah.
And they'd get to the playoff and they would get blown out badly.
Yes.
Every college football playoff game. I want to say they went to 3 or 4 in a row and it was just a bloodbath. It was just brutal.
Yeah.
And so, and everybody kind of knew, like, yeah, you're a good team. You're not really a serious contender.
Right.
They'll enter the SEC. And then they had injuries. They had problems. They've got so many things kind of going on off the field. They got some drama surrounding the program. And so it's just, it hasn't been smooth sailing.
No.
So with that, and on top of that, their athletic director has announced his retirement. So I bet there's just a lot of things going on in Norman. But you know what cures that? It cures it for all the schools. Winning. Winning solves all problems. You don't believe me? Go undefeated.
Yes.
It will solve all your problems.
And Heath, another hiccup for Oklahoma. Jackson Arnold enters the transfer portal. He is now on the plains at Auburn. So here we go with another new transfer from Washington State coming in to Oklahoma to try to run that offense.
Yeah, you know, we had Steve Robertson on the show earlier this week. He was talking about Mississippi State, but I remember Steve Robertson talking about this. You know, and he was saying that everybody had Jackson Arnold coming to Mississippi State, and he said, we never did. We didn't see that. There was a relationship with Lebby, head coach at Mississippi State, and Arnold, and then so many people wanted to act surprised when he went to Auburn. You know, I was kind of surprised that Oklahoma just didn't stick with him a little bit longer.
Right.
He showed so many flashes of greatness, and it was like he was just about to come over that hill, get over that hump, and start to dominate. But I think people expected him to come in and dominate and not grow and mature and flourish. And I think that was the biggest mistake, but not only Oklahoma staff, but fans, boosters, everybody else. Look, this is big boy football here.
Yeah.
You know, there's rarely ever a quarterback that comes in and just figures it out right off the bat. So with that being said, I really hated seeing Jackson Arnold leave Norman, Oklahoma. But hey, I think everyone's happy that he's moved on, and I know Auburn's happy that he's there on the plane. So maybe it's a good fit for everybody here in the long run.
Heath, as bad as we talk about that Oklahoma season a year ago, couldn't do anything on offense, decimated by injuries at the wide receiver position, I'm still scratching my head, and I know there are a bunch of fans here locally. How did Oklahoma absolutely dominate Alabama there in Norman in November? That one is still a head-scratcher to me.
That's why we watch college football, and that's why we love college football. I mean, it's weekends for that. You never want to be on the losing side of that. I mean, we all be honest about that. But when it happens to anybody else, you're like, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. And you want to watch the replay of the game. You're catching out the highlights. You're checking it out on YouTube. That's why we watch, is because of games like that. That's why we all watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like I said, if you're the losing team, everyone laughs at you. If you're the winning team, everyone pats you on the back for a week.
Right.
But, you know, Stephen, one thing that I always want to look at, because if you're an SEC team, you think you should win all your non-conference games.
Yeah.
Dude, Oklahoma, listen to the non-conference schedule. Illinois State.
Win.
Yeah. Michigan, second week. Yeah. And that's going to be a fun game. I can't wait to watch that one, truthfully. Yeah. Then you're at, are you ready? Temple.
Yes, win.
Why are you at Temple? I can understand if Temple's there, but why are you at Temple? And then you get Kent State. I'm sure that's homecoming.
Yeah.
Flashes of Kent State. So with that, 3-1 for sure.
Yes.
If they go 4-0, this could be a very sneaky good team. I will say this. They beat Michigan that second week of the season, and Michigan could fall flat on their face and be terrible, and we don't see it coming. I don't expect that to happen, but we've seen Michigan do that many times before. But if they start this, you know, get the non-conference 4-0 and they start the season 5-0 going in with, you know, the Red River rivalry with Texas, if they go in that game 5-0, could be bowl eligible, 6-0, first six games, dude, that's going to be quite impressive.
Heath, trivia question. You talked about the dominance of Oklahoma in the Big 12 and them getting in the playoffs almost every single year. Can you tell me the year, the last time Oklahoma made the playoffs?
2019 jumps out at me. It could have been 2020, but I'm going to say 2019 final answer.
COVID hadn't even happened. You were correct.
Yeah, there you go, 2019. I want to say, Stephen, they were there like 17, 18, 19. They could have been there 16. Right. They could have been there 15.
Right.
But I know they went 3 years in a row. And I'm not knocking Oklahoma on this. I'm not. Because that's back when only four teams made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, you know, with those four teams, when they made it, you're like, they're kind of the weakest link. Like, everyone knew it going into it. Like, they're the weakest link. They're going to be put out early. And they were, and it was always embarrassing.
But Heath, I will tell you, one of the best Rose Bowl games I have ever witnessed would be that Georgia-Oklahoma double overtime thriller with Baker Mayfield versus
Aaron Murray.
Yeah, and I believe Nick Chubb was on that team.
Yeah, Sony Michel, I think, scored the final touchdown on that one.
Yeah.
I don't remember too many games since I've had kids. Before kids, I can still remember games to a T. After kids, I don't remember. I remember that one, and that was one of the greatest football games I've ever watched, one of the greatest bowl games. That was a super fun game, and you just kind of wish they would play 2 weeks later, you know, because, man, that was such a great game. But, Stephen, can Oklahoma do it? There's a lot of drama around the program. There's hot seat talk. Yep. There's a new quarterback. There's a new offensive coordinator. There's been injuries. You got big stars like Nick Anderson and Jackson Arnold hitting the transfer portal, landing at fellow SEC schools. I mean, there's just a lot of craziness to this Oklahoma team coming into the season, and I usually don't like that. But what solves all problems, Stephen? Winning solves all problems. You get new problems with winning, but those are the problems you want.
And Heath, I hate to say this, but Lincoln Riley ditching Oklahoma broke the Sooners.
I don't know if it broke them, but it hurt really bad. I mean, how is it that transaction of him getting up, leaving, going to USC hurt both USC and Oklahoma?
How did that happen?
You know, you cannot tell me otherwise. I'm not a stubborn person. I will listen to you. I will give you the benefit of the doubt. But I just really felt like that move by Lincoln Riley is, I don't want tough competition. I like the easy schedule. I can make the college football playoff really easy and get my bonus. Now you're going to the SEC, and now I have to recruit against all these guys, and I don't want to do it. I'm just going to go to USC where it's easy. And that conference fell apart. That team fell apart. Everything fell apart. I'm a Gen Xer, Stephen. We believe if the government touches it, it falls apart. Post office, health care, doesn't matter what it is. 401k, if the government touches it, it falls apart. It just destroys it. Lincoln Riley has that government touch to him right now. I mean, everything he's touching is falling apart. All right. And I don't want me to team up on him, but man, you can't prove me wrong on it.
Heath, you broke our rule, dude. No politics. Come on.
That's a fact, man. That's not politics. That's just a fact. Whatever he touches is false. Like, if he sells you a used car, you're going to have problems within a week, okay? So don't buy a used car from Lincoln Riley. Pro tip, don't ever buy a used car from any college football coach.
So, Heath, let's get back on topic with Oklahoma, and we're going to do that on the other side of this break, as we're going to be joined by Tyler McComas, who has his own radio show in Norman, who talks about the Oklahoma Sooners on a daily basis. He will join us to discuss the season upcoming for Boomer Sooner. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back.
I always loved the Oklahoma fight song. Loved it.
All they say is Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner.
Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, OU.
It's coming up on dinner time. And how does a boneless smoked chicken breast sound? Or maybe even a smoked wing plate? Or cheesesteak fries? This is what you will find and a whole lot more at the Coker Market, located in Coker, Alabama, at the four-way intersection right off of County Road 140. Now, the owner, Jamie, went to culinary school, so he knows what he is doing when it comes to food at the Coker Market. Their hours of operation are Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m., and they are closed Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Go by there today and see Jamie and all of the staff and get some amazing food at the Coker Market. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender. Do you guys dream about owning a home or a condominium down on the beautiful beaches of Alabama, say Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, or maybe even Fairhope? Then let me tell you about First Class Real Estate South Home Group's owner, Celeste Hagler. She has brokers down there in the beautiful beaches of Alabama to help you purchase the home of your dreams and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste Hagler at 205-861-5698. Contact Celeste Hagler today to help you live where you love in the state of Alabama.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We have road work in the center and right lanes on 15th Street southbound near Hackberry Lane. Also, an accident is on the shoulder on McFarland eastbound at I-20. Very slow north on Highway 69 from McFarland to Mitlary Road. It's an 11-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Hey, Ben.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Boomer Sooner Oklahoma preview show as we are getting ready for the opening kickoff here in just a few weeks. And Oklahoma is coming off of a mediocre season, to say the least. However, we will remind you that they did knock off Alabama to extend their bowl streak of going to a bowl game. And how will Oklahoma do this season without Jackson Arnold? Let's go on ahead and bring on our guest, Tyler McComas, who is coming to us from Norman, Oklahoma, who has a radio show out there in Norman. Tyler, how are things with you in Norman?
Well, it's a lot better to be 0-0 than 6-7. And I think finally at this part of the year, you can say the 0-0 Oklahoma Sooners and not the 6-7 team. So it's good, man. It's still fun being in the SEC. The home schedule this year is the best that OU's ever had, ever before. So that's exciting. It's a challenging road, but I think cautiously optimistic is what a lot of people are right now about this. Cautiously optimistic. The expectation is that it's going to be better. But maybe cautiously optimistic that it can be a lot better than what it was last year.
I want to talk about last season. Jackson Arnold, you know, super highly recruited quarterback. He's not in. He's in. He's winning. He's not winning. He's out. Up, we're bringing him back. Now he's in the transfer portal. He's out the door. He's going to Mississippi State. Oh, nope. Curveball. He's heading to Auburn. So everything was going crazy with that. What happened with that whole fiasco of last season with Jackson Arnold?
I think to talk about what happened with Jackson Arnold, I think you actually have to go all the way back to December in the year prior. So I guess technically December of 2023. It's kind of understood that OU is going to make the decision that, hey, Dylan Gabriel, you've been a good quarterback for us for a couple of years, but we got this five-star kid that we think is extremely talented. We're going to move forward with him.
Right.
Gabriel enters in the transfer portal, goes to Oregon, and Jackson Arnold starts the bowl game against Arizona in the Alamo Bowl. And he comes out and he struggles, and he throws some interceptions. He also makes some incredible plays. Incredible. I mean, you saw the natural arm talent in that game.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma has a couple of fluke turnovers, not necessarily all of Jackson Arnold's fault. And they end up blowing a lead and losing to Arizona. And the entire offseason, it was, well, he's got to do a better job of taking care of the football. I mean, the arm strength is there. He made some great plays, but he can't have turnovers. He can't have turnovers. He can't have so many mistakes. And I swear, guys, like, that was brought up so much. I feel that it was just drilled in his head over and over and over. Don't make the big mistake. We want you to make those big plays, but don't make the big mistake. And I think after hearing that for an entire offseason, it got in his head a little bit. So that's one thing. Then they promoted Seth Luttrell from within as their offensive coordinator. He was on the 2000 national championship team in the same backfield as Josh Heupel when OU won it all. And guys, he's probably the worst coordinator hire that OU's ever made before. I mean, he's an alma mater, and in year one as the OC, he got fired at the midway point of the season. I mean, it's got to go bad for that to be the case.
Yeah.
So throw that in once. Yeah. I mean, the offensive coordinator gets fired in the middle of the year. The offensive line was hurt since the beginning of training camp, and they never found any continuity. The wide receiver core was as beat up as I've ever seen. So I don't know if there's one reason why it went the way that it did with Jackson Arnold. I think that there's several contributing factors, and he is certainly a part of that as well. I mean, he did not play well when he needed to. But it's also fair to say that the situation around him, nobody could have succeeded there. And nobody did succeed on the offense last year because the O-line was so bad, because the receivers were so beat up, because the offensive coordinator was so bad. But I do think that that guy's got to find his confidence again, because I think he lost a lot of it, especially after that bowl game where he did have some incredible moments, but it was, hey, buddy, you can't make those big mistakes. I think there's just a lot of things that led to what last season was with Jackson Arnold.
Tyler McComas is our guest this evening, who covers the Oklahoma Sooners out in Norman. And Tyler, we talked about Jackson Arnold leaving, going to Auburn. What does the quarterback room look like for this year's Oklahoma Sooners?
Guys, everyone associated with the program who's at practice says OU's got a dude and maybe potentially a top three quarterback in the SEC with Washington State transfer John Mateer. Okay. I mean, he was, you know, take your pick between he or Carson Beck, the highest rated quarterback in the portal this past offseason. And I feel like this is important to note with Mateer. I feel like if all things go well, he's the right quarterback at the right time. And what I mean by that is the offense last year was bad, the worst of my lifetime and one of the worst offenses in school history. I laid out a couple of the reasons why that was the case. But they didn't have a guy. They didn't have a leader to when everything was really unraveling. They said, hey, I got this. This is my side of the ball. You guys follow me. We're going to fix that. They didn't have that guy. Jackson Arnold wasn't that guy last year. So they needed someone to step in this year, this offseason, that said, last year wasn't good enough. I don't care if I wasn't here or not. We're going to get this fixed. And by all accounts, John Mateer has been that guy since day one. Walked in the facility day one, and the rest of the offense, the rest of the football team just kind of magnifies around. He's got high-level throwing ability. He's a dual threat quarterback that ran for a lot of yards last year at Washington State. Right. There is an expectation here that not only will the quarterback situation be better, but potentially maybe one of the best situations in the SEC. So when we rank best position groups with this team, quarterback is often coming in at number two. That's how much confidence there is, not just with his abilities, but the fact that he's coming in with his offensive coordinator at Washington State, Ben Arbuckle, who are a lot of people are high on as well. So not only do you get Mateer, you get Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator, and they also bring his quarterbacks coach along at Washington State as well. There's a very strong belief that that position is not going to be just improved, but even really, really good this coming year.
You know, Tyler, to follow up with that, you know, John Mateer, people were knocking, let me rephrase that, the haters were knocking him. Like, well, when he played big-time competition, he struggled. I was like, yeah, but he also didn't have big-time weapons and targets like he does at Oklahoma. And that's a huge, massive factor. I think he's going to be very successful. I'm not going to be shocked if he ends up ranked in the top three in passing at the end of the season. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's number one either. The other question I have for you about this offense and transfer portal, Nick Anderson had that phenomenal season in 2023. Thought he was going to be the best wide receiver in the SEC last year. Doesn't even get a catch, I don't believe. Doesn't even register a catch. I think he only played 4 or 5 plays. He was injured all year. What happened with Nick Anderson and that injury? And he's in the portal. He's at LSU now where, you know, Nussmeier, oh my gosh, he'll throw to him every other play.
Yeah, well, what happened with Nick Anderson, it sounds like, and still kind of a mystery, but best I can tell, maybe there was a miscommunication with him and the training staff and maybe a miscommunication on what the injury actually was. He tried to come back from that Tennessee game, and all he did when he came back is further just, you know, injure himself even more, essentially. So, yeah, I mean, that's a bummer because you mentioned the great season that he had and the expectations going into last year. I got a photo behind me, Dylan Gabriel, celebrating at the Cotton Bowl. Nick Anderson caught that game-winning touchdown. I mean, it's one of the greatest moments of OU football the last 20 years when Nick Anderson caught that game-winning touchdown against Texas back in 2023. His brother was a star here. Exactly, Stingray. Yes, his brother was a star here. His brother still works for the university as well. So that's strange. And if healthy, if he's a healthy guy at LSU this year, I don't know if he's going to be their best receiver because they got Berrion Brown and they've got some others, but he's going to be a big time factor. So yeah, it hurts to see him go to LSU because everyone knows the high level play that when healthy he can bring. But I think to your point, it's even more disappointing because I think that situation could have been totally avoided last year, maybe with some better communication.
Wow.
So, Tyler, hold that thought. We were up against another break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the running backs, the wide receivers, and then get to the defensive side of the football for Oklahoma. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will return with the Oklahoma preview show right after this.
Stingray, just think if Nick Anderson stayed healthy and Jackson Arnold was still there, what kind of season they could have. We will never know.
Yep. Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, One Together. The deals at South's Finest Meats just keep getting better and better, and this week through August the 12th, they have a great deal on Ziegler products, including 12 ounces of Southern Style Smoked Sausage, 2 for $6, 12 ounces of thick or regular sliced bologna, 2 for $5, 12 ounces of Jumbo Frank Hot Dogs, 2 for $5, or 24 ounces of Stack Pack Sliced Bacon, $7.98. They also have great deals on beef, chicken, and fish this week that run through August the 12th. Go by there today and check out some of the amazing deals at South's Finest Meats.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Well, Welcome back inside the Stingray Show, inside the Oklahoma Preview Show. Our guest this evening is Tyler McComas, host of a radio show out there in Oklahoma. Thank you for joining us, Tyler. And when you talk about the hot seat topic, everyone always goes to Norman to talk about Brent Venables. Going into this season, talk about the hot seat talk and what is expected of Brent Venables this year at Oklahoma.
Well, he is on the hot seat. And I can't remember if I told you guys this earlier in the offseason or not, but it's the first time since 1998 an OU football coach has entered into the season on the hot seat.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy to think? Since 1998, last time we've been having these conversations. Bob Stoops was never on the hot seat.
Right.
Lincoln Riley was never on the hot seat. And honestly, Brent Venables hasn't been on the hot seat until now.
Right.
Last offseason, he actually got a contract extension in the offseason. But he is on the hot seat. Absolutely, he is. And he's got to prove it this year. What does that look like? What does he got to do to be back in 2026? Well, I think you have to enter into the month of November as a legitimate college football playoff contender. When OU goes to Knoxville, Tennessee on November 1st, I think they at least have to be in the playoff picture. They can't be a team that already has three or four losses and already out of things. You got to be a playoff contender going into November. And here's something to really note about the seat that he's on and what it's going to take. Because here's essentially, guys, what OU did this offseason. It was 6-7. It's Oklahoma. It's not Vanderbilt. It's not Ole Miss. It's not Mississippi State. 6-7's not okay around here. It's a different league. Yeah. I understand that. But it's not okay around here. So here's what they did to fix it. They said, all right, Brent, you got terrible luck with injuries last year. You've had this ridiculous schedule. What do you need? We'll go get you the best quarterback in the portal. We'll go and get you the best running back in the portal with Jade Knott. Who do you want as your offensive coordinator? You want this young up-and-comer at Washington State? We'll get that for you. You want Jim Nagy, the GM, to help the roster here? Like, they gave him everything that I think that he needs for it to be a lot better this year. So if it's the same result as last year with all the money they poured in at 6-7, I think OU is going to make the decision that says that's not good enough after 4 years.
Right.
If it's 7-5, which would be an improvement win loss wise, I think OU is going to say 7's not good enough for it. We're going to move on.
Yeah.
I think the conversation about him being back is at 8 wins. I think that that's kind of the line is 8 wins. If he makes the playoff, I think that he's definitely safe, of course.
Right.
But I think it's at least got to be an 8-win season for me if we're talking about Brent back in 2026.
And Tyler, looking at that schedule, that's going to be a bit difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's the toughest schedule in the SEC.
Right.
Florida might have something to say about that, but it's up there at the top. I mean, you've got Michigan at home in the non-conference this year in week two, a team that's recently won a national championship.
Right.
But it's the most difficult schedule in program history. There is no doubt about it. You do with the neutral site game that you play against Texas every year at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
You're the road team in that. So technically you only have three true road games in the SEC this year,
mm-hmm.
but they're at South Carolina, at Tennessee, Alabama. Like that's going to be really difficult for the three true road games. And your home games are LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, Auburn, Michigan. I mean, it's a gauntlet, but I still think that the expectations are still the same, guys. I mean, it is what it is around here, and you put so much money into this, and football is such a big deal that you can't be talking about a 6-7 or 7-5 season, regardless of what the schedule looks like.
Yes.
Wow. You know, let's put the cart way before the horse. Let's just say this season goes bad. Let's just say it's horrific. Who's on that short list, you think, as far as coaches for next year?
So, you know, what's funny is who I think would be on the short list today, then it always depend on what this season looks like for them. Like someone could appear or disappear off of a list based on what happens this year. But you're asking me on Wednesday, August 6th.
Right.
And the answer, Wednesday, August 6th, for me, like this is who I would want. And this is who I legitimately would think would be at the top of that list. Arizona State head coach Kenny Dillingham.
Yep.
Now, okay. He's a Tempe guy, a Phoenix guy, an ASU guy, but I think you leave that job for Oklahoma, a big-time job, blue-blood job in the SEC. I honestly don't know where to go outside of that. And OU is going to have a new athletic director soon, which is interesting. So that factors into things as well. Joe Castiglione announced his retirement a few weeks back. But if there's one name that I could confidently say I think is going to be on that list, it'd be Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. Right. And another name that I might throw out there, he has OU ties. He's done a nice job in the SEC. We'll see what he does this year with high expectations, is Shane Beamer at South Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, do you leave South Carolina to go to Oklahoma? Traditionally, yes. I don't know 100% if Shane Beamer would, especially if he makes the playoff this year. But I think that those are kind of the first two names that come to mind for me.
Tyler, I thought you were going to go with Josh Heupel there. I really did.
It's not going to happen. No, I don't think Josh would do it after what's happened, you know, the last time and everything.
Right.
I can't say that both sides would say no to that. I know that there's some hard feelings there with Josh and how that went down. Understandably so. Yeah. But I don't think that's ever going to be the case.
So, Tyler, let's go on ahead and get back to this season with Brent Venables. We talked earlier about the quarterback situation. Talk about a couple of his weapons at running back and then the wide receivers, please.
So, running back last year was not great, honestly. I mean, again, nothing was good offensively. But I mentioned Jaden Otten passing, and they actually got him in the spring transfer portal cycle. Number one running back in the portal out of Cal. Like, this guy is dynamic. He's a home run threat that, frankly, Oklahoma hasn't had in quite some time. Now, he was beat up last year at Cal. Year before, he was sensational at Cal. And he's going to be your number one guy. You bring back other players like Xavier Robinson, who had a great game against Alabama last year. He was a true freshman a year ago. Right. Javonte Barnes is back. Taylor Tatum, the former number one running back, is back. I mean, you've got a lot of bodies back from last year's team. But Jaden Knott is going to be your number one dude at running back. Wide receiver was a complete disaster last year because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
But Deion Burks is back, and I still think he's a dude when he's healthy. Right? I mean, he's transferred from Purdue. Just was never healthy a year ago. I think he's your best receiver if he's healthy. They got a guy by the name of Javonte Gibson from Arkansas Pine Bluff, who was the story of the spring. He got hurt at the end of spring, but he's expected to be back early part of the year. He's going to be a huge factor. Isaiah Satania is in from Arkansas. And all I've heard from the Arkansas side is, hey, like, this guy is, we think he's a lot better than the numbers he had last year, maybe because they didn't have a quarterback that always saw the entire field and could always get him the ball. Well, now he does have that quarterback, and by all accounts, Isaiah Satania is having a really good training camp thus far. You got Keontez Lewis, who's a transfer. Like, there's a lot of transfers at that spot. But, guys, I'd be shocked, I mean, really shocked, if wide receivers isn't a lot better than it was last year. And, frankly, I think wide receiver could be a lot better than it was last year. But they have to stay healthy, unlike a year ago.
So, Tyler, we are up against our final break, and when we come back, we are going to discuss the defense and then get into the schedule. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will finish it up right after this.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show, former Alabama Crimson Tide running back Chris Anderson joins me to talk about his days as a member of the Tide, and also he'll preview the upcoming Crimson Tide football team for 2025. Plus, Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340, your phone calls and more. That's Thursday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799 799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. Your life can change on a dime, and if you are relocating for your job up to the Rocket City of Huntsville, the fastest growing city in the state of Alabama, you need to contact Celeste Tagler of First Class Real Estate South Home Group. She has brokers all over North Alabama to help you get settled with buying a new home in North Alabama. You can contact her at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is Celeste Tagler, 205-861-5698. Contact Celeste Tagler today to live where you love in the state of Alabama, even in the Rocket City of Huntsville.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. You're traveling west on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker. It's a 13-minute drive. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's a 7-minute drive. Long-term construction work on Old Birmingham Highway eastbound between 55th Avenue and Kennedy Mill Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
At All Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hey, you. Looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together. Welcome back inside the Oklahoma Preview Show. Our guest this evening is Tyler McComas. And Tyler, before the break, we were talking about the wide receiving core and the running backs. Now let's go to the other side of the football and talk about the defense, which Brent Venables is known for, especially when he was the defensive coordinator up there at Clemson. Talk about the defensive side of the football this season for Oklahoma.
I certainly don't think there's been a program in the SEC. There's probably not a program in college football the last 3 years that's had an identity shift as much as OU.
Right.
I mean, you guys probably thought of OU entering the SEC all offense and no defense. Well, last year they were all defense and they were no offense whatsoever. And I'll do you one better than giving my opinion about the defense. I've got a Phil Steele sitting right in front of me, and he has OU's defensive line, number one, the best in the SEC. And he's not alone in that.
Right.
David Pollack, former Georgia Bulldog, has said this offseason, OU will have the best defensive line in the SEC. So it's not just me saying that and touting up the defensive line. There are others across the SEC who are saying it as well. And this is the best D-line that you've had easily in over 15 years. The offense will be improved. There's no doubt about that. But it's still a defensive-led football team, led by your defensive line. There are certain things that you need in the SEC to be a big-time team. And you got to, I mean, defensive line's right up there at the top, right? I mean, you guys know. D-line's legit. Linebacker, you lose Danny Stutzman to the NFL. Leadership-wise, I mean, that certainly hurts. He kind of, you know, was really one of those foundational pieces in getting Oklahoma defense back. But Kip Lewis is going to be your main guy at backer. In both of OU's SEC wins last year, and they only had two, but in both of those wins, Kip Lewis had a pick six against Auburn and Alabama. Hopefully, Kip Lewis doesn't have to have a pick six in every SEC game for OU to win like last year, but he's really good. I think the secondary as a whole is strong. I think that OU's defense will push for one of the better defenses in the conference this year. And they were good last year.
Right.
But I think that they were even better than what kind of meets the eye. And why I say that is, what if they had an offense last year, guys, that actually put themselves in good situations? Because that didn't happen last year. The defense routinely would, hey, we'll get the Tennessee game's a great example. They turn over Nico inside the 5-yard line. Yeah. And OU gives it right back the very next play. They get another interception. OU's offense gives it right back the next play. They're in a big game against Ole Miss on the road. They get a huge turnover at the middle of the field. The OU offense gives the ball right back. Yeah. So every time the defense got a big turnover or got a big stop, they get it back to the offense, and the offense would just give it right back to the other team, you know?
Yeah.
So they were out on the field a ton. The offense had a ton of three and outs. Like, the point is, the defense was never really in a situation last year to succeed, except for one game. There was one game that was the case, and that was against Alabama, yeah, where the offense was able to run the ball and was able to run the clock and was able to stay in front of the chains and was able to get Alabama out of their comfort zone a little bit. And we saw Jalen Milroe throw a pick six and throw another huge interception in the second half, and OU won by 3 touchdowns. So do I think the defense will overall be as talented as they were a year ago? I think they have that opportunity. But why I think OU can be one of the best in the SEC is because with a better offense this time around, the defense will be put in much better situations to succeed. And it only happened one time last year, but we saw how legit that defense was when they held Alabama without a touchdown for the first time. And I don't even remember how long, a long time for the Tide.
Tyler, I think I know the answers to both my questions, but I want to hear it from you. And I'm asking everyone that we do the preview shows this. If you had to rank where Oklahoma's defense is going to be, top half or bottom half in the SEC, what would you say?
Top half for sure. I'd be pretty surprised if it was bottom half.
With their offense, top half, bottom half?
That one's obviously a little bit more difficult. I'm projecting. I'll say it's top half, but I think it's closer to the middle, would be my guess. I definitely think if all goes according to plan and all goes right, they have a chance to be top half. There's just so many teams replacing a quarterback this year. You know, like, there's not 7 offenses returning in the SEC that I think are just super dynamic. Like, I love LSU's offense this year. Yeah. I think Texas will have a really good offense. I think Alabama's offense is going to be better. But look at Tennessee. Like, what's Tennessee going to be offensively? I'm sure Ole Miss will be good offensively, but they replace, right? They replace a quarterback and some other things. Long way to answer your question, but I'll say top half, but probably closer to the middle.
Right.
So, Tyler, you said in the first segment that we had you on, Brent Venables needs 8 wins to keep his job. And Norman, navigate the schedule for us and give us a prediction on how many wins Oklahoma gets this season.
Well, with a tough schedule and as many big times games as you have, I mean, 9 out of the 12 are, I think, high quality games. You're not going to have to wait long to find out what Oklahoma is. Right. And you guys are going to watch them week 2, Saturday Night Football on ABC. I'm sure game day is going to be there. You're going to see Oklahoma and Michigan play in an incredibly important game. I don't think it's the most important game of the year. I think it's Texas because of the rivalry, what it means to recruiting, what it means to the alumni and fans. Texas is the most important game. But Michigan might be the second. Right. Not because Michigan's the second best team that you're going to play, but because it's the first big game that you play after a 6-7 season. Right. This program needs momentum. It needs a shot in the arm. It needs something good to happen. It needs to kind of believe again that it can win at a high level. And I think the Michigan game really sets up everything for the remainder of the year. Right now, OU is around a 2.5-3 point favorite in that game. It's going to be a tight football game late. But if you're going to be a playoff team, I think you need to beat Michigan at home.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have Bryce Underwood, true freshman, starting for them. His first ever like big-time college football game on the road, Brent Venables' defense. I think you got to win that. Then you open up SEC play with Auburn at home. Yeah. Jackson Arnold comes back here. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you need to win that game. You need to go into Dallas as a 5-0 football team taking on Texas. Of course, you need to beat Illinois State, but you need to beat Michigan. You need to win at Temple. You need to beat Auburn, and you need to beat a really bad Kent State team. We need to be talking about a 5-0 Oklahoma team going into Dallas. And we'll see what you can do there. I mean, that's going to be an incredibly difficult game. Two out of the past 3 years, you haven't scored a touchdown. A big reason of that is because of injuries. But then, like, guys, the back half's a gauntlet. Texas and Dallas, at South Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee, at Alabama, Missouri, and then LSU. Yeah. That's how you end the season. So there's really no rest there whatsoever. So ODU wasn't a great home team last year. They just went just 1-2 in the SEC at home because they only got 3 home games a year ago. I think at worst, you have to be a 1-loss team at home this year. I think you can maybe drop 1 home game and still put yourself in a situation to make the playoff. But I don't think we can be talking about a 2-loss home team for OU this year. And again, all these things I'm saying, I'm not saying they're going to be easy. I know that they're going to be difficult. I just think that's the way that it needs to be for OU to be a legit playoff contender this year. I would view at Alabama as probably the toughest game for OU this year because I think Alabama is going to be a lot better. And because last year, you know, that's on Alabama's mind after what happened. I think 95% of OU fans would agree with me. At Alabama is going to be the toughest game. That's going to be really difficult. But there's tough games all over the place. And with that schedule, maybe 9 wins get you in the playoffs. Right. Maybe. But it's going to be difficult, especially that back half of the schedule. But the important part is you need to be undefeated going into Dallas. You need to beat Michigan at home. You need to beat Auburn at home, in my opinion.
Wow. So does he get the 8 wins needed, yes or no?
I think he does. Okay. I know the schedule's difficult, but I picked him 9-3 with losses at South Carolina, at Alabama, and LSU is what I got him.
So, Tyler, look, man, I know you were on a time crunch. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Boomer Sooner to you guys up there in Norman, and we will definitely catch up with you during the football season.
Sounds good. Anytime, Stingray.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so guys, that is going to wrap up the Oklahoma Preview Show. Really do want to thank Tyler McComas there for joining us, and Heath, for any Alabama fans out there, you may want to cover your ears, because when we come back on the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show, it is going to be War Eagle time, as the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, will join us for a Auburn preview show on the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show at 6 p.m. And we will catch you then with the War Eagle preview show. And I will leave you with this, Heath. Boomer Sooner, but I don't think Oklahoma gets to 8 wins. And I think Brent Venables is on the chopping block in December.
Well, we'll find out. You know, the one thing I wanted to ask Tyler is, what's the toughest 3-game stretch? Because every SEC team has 3 SEC games. It's just brutal. They don't have one. They have a 4-game stretch. And, Stephen, as we walk out the door, how would you like to play Texas at a neutral site, at South Carolina, come home to Ole Miss, then go on the road to Tennessee? It doesn't get that much better. You get an off week the next week before you go to Alabama. That's brutal. The season will be defined in those 5 games.